Good morning, church.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Please stand with me as we come together and worship God through song. Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring Him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him. With steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with a certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of His grace. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone, both here and online. Man, what a beautiful day. The sun is shining. I'm glad to be here. Who's glad to be here? Amen. Woohoo! Wow, you guys are awake today. We would like to invite you to one of our many Sunday school classes. They're each Sunday at 9 a.m., and we would love to have you join us. Also, starting the week off right, is on Mondays we have Save Your Stretch at 6:30. You don't want to miss that. I hear it's awesome. On Wednesday, there will be a Connect meal at 5:30 p.m., and then followed by a business meeting at 6:30, and then the Chosen Two. If you would like to come for the meal, please let the church office know so they can prepare for you. And then also on Thursday from 9 to 11, the food pantry needs your help. So if you're available, please show up to help out. And then also, I have information on the Priority Women's Conference. I hear it is really awesome. I'm going to set it right over here. I know there's also information on the other side. If you would like it, grab it. So then I'm going to ask Richard Hazelwood to come up.
Good morning. As I looked outside, I was standing out there welcoming people in. It's beautiful to see the sunshine, and I hope that you have the sun in your heart as well. And our prayer sheet has that part on it that's for those people who we believe to be lost. And we pray that they might find Jesus Christ and might have the sun in their hearts as well as shining all over. So let's pray about that and about our service today as we go together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful day. We pray that you guide and direct us as we move into this time of worship, that you would be with the songs we sing, that we would sing them to you. Pray for the message that Pastor Cliff shares with us, that we might pay attention and we might hear the word that you have for us, and we might make the decisions that are necessary to be one with you. And Father, we thank you so much for each one who's here today. Pray that this be the day that they are right with you in whatever change, chance, or decision they need to make. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with me once again as we continue to worship through song.
Water you turned into wine and opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Cause our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. 'Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Because our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We're singing how marvelous, shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. We're singing how marvelous, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages, to sing of his love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, then my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
So, we're talking about the parables of Jesus, all right? We're talking about the parables of Jesus. We just sang that song, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. You know, you can all get this on the phone, so it's this afternoon when you're trying to remember, you got the tune stuck in your head, but you're just singing, you go, You know, you got the words, okay? So you can look this up this afternoon and look at the words and actually sing that out. But isn't God's love for us great? God's love for us great, and that's what we celebrate. That's why we come together today, is to talk about God's love. As we talk about the parables, Jesus teaches in parables so that we remember them. That's the cool thing about the parables. Last week, we talked about the Good Samaritan. I hope that somewhere along the line that you encountered something that reminded you about the Good Samaritan. Today's parable, you're going to see it on your way home. You may even do some of this afternoon. Okay, it's the sower, the seed, and the soil. Okay, it's actually about the soil, but you know, and when I'm looking this up, it said the seed, the sower, the seed, and the soil, and it's found in Matthew chapter 13, and that's where we're going to read from, is Matthew chapter 13. You can read another version of it in Mark chapter 4, and also in Luke chapter 8. The story is pretty much, it's the same story. Although in Matthew, we're going to skip the scripture in between, but there's this interlude about why he's teaching in parables and the fact that they didn't understand the parable. And so we'll talk about that as we go. Today, though, I want you to think about this. Dirt matters. Okay? Dirt matters. My neighbor has one of Randy's company signs on the side of his truck. And dirt matters, because you know what Randy's job is today, what his business is built around, is getting dirt, all right? You get dirt in little tubes and take it and sample it off. It looks like black dirt or clay or whatever, but they get more precise things about that. There are other things. Adam's dealing with the seed. Dirt matters, doesn't it? Okay? You know, it's not my seed's fault, it's your dirt's problem. Okay? I've heard him on the phone, it's your dirt, it's not my seed. Okay? My seed's the best, all right? So I have a cousin, Tom Justison. We met sometime. He comes over every once in a while, gets his hair cut, and goes to Taylor's. So I got to go to Taylor's with him. There's nothing wrong with that. And in there, we're talking about, they own farm ground over around Butler's, where they started out at. But somewhere along the line, he said, we bought farm ground up by, I think it's by Champagne, but don't quote me on it. He said, here's what I want you can quote me on this. We wanted, before we finished farming, to farm good dirt, okay? Apparently, the dirt up north was better than the dirt around Butler, all right? So Randy's kind of shaking his head, so you can ask him that a little bit later. But that dirt matters when we look at this. And this parable, dirt matters. And guess what? In this parable, you all are dirt. I've been dying to say it all week. All right, you're all dirt. All right, so the power of the parable, right? This is the idea. When Jesus tells a story, we remember that. When you're driving along and I thought about this a couple times. When we were doing The Chosen on Wednesday night, we were doing The Chosen, and James and John are out there in their John Deere tractor. They didn't have John Deere's back then. Man, it's like, man, are you so glad we got those tractors now. But they're digging dirt. I'm thinking, this is the parable of the sower. I mean, right here, that's what crossed my mind. As I'm driving home yesterday after we get done with disaster relief training, I'm headed home. One of the Sheltons is out there with a planter in the field. And I can't help but think about this parable. So when we get done, I want you to think about this parable, all right? And note that this parable is one of the few times Jesus actually explains the parable. He actually, the disciples kind of like, what was that about? Okay, and so he tells them. So let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And large crowds gathered him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. Words travel better across the water. So, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 10 through the 17th verse are, what was that about? You know, I mean, that's the idea behind that. You know, you're talking about a sower going out and throwing seed out. And let me take this moment to say, they didn't have John Deere's tractors back then, and they didn't have planters. We plant with row. We have precision planting. That planter puts it down at a depth and at a distance. That's how our planters work. So sometimes when we read this, we don't really connect with it. Have any of you guys got one of those grass seeder things where you throw it in here and you stand out there and you turn it, and it just goes wherever and mostly goes on your shoes, you know, kind of thing. When you get back in, it's like, didn't it get on the ground? But that's how they went out there. They didn't have one of those either. They went out there and just threw the seed and it landed wherever. Okay, that's so picture that in mind as he told that story. Now, again, he's telling a story that they could relate to. They knew about the sower. They knew about the seed landing in different places. They grasped that. They understood that. What they didn't understand is, why did you tell us that? What's the connection to the kingdom of God? What's the connection to our lives? Because Jesus isn't just telling a story for fun. Jesus is telling a story with a point. And Jesus is telling a story with the intention of changing our lives, transforming our lives. That's what he's designed to do. So they ask him, and here's the explanation that Jesus gives. Hear then the parable of the sower. He doesn't change the name of it. Starts out with the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is a man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So that's the explanation to the parable. Let's understand this. Jesus is addressing the crowds. As we saw here, there were crowds that came out. So many came out that he had to go out in a boat out into the water a little bit so that everybody had the opportunity to hear what he had to say. So there's a lot of listeners, but there's not a lot of followers. There's not a lot of disciples. There's not a lot of people that are sticking with it. So Jesus takes his time speaking to the audience. This is about them. This is about me. This is about you. This is about us. As Jesus tells the parable about the sower, the seed, and the soil, this is meant to wake us up, okay? It's our response. It's the response to the teachings. He's telling, they're sitting there at the feet of Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate in flesh. And Jesus is talking to them, and they're not responding like they ought to, right? How many of us would like to change places with them and sit and listen to Jesus instead of sitting and listening to Cliff? Yeah, I get it. Okay, I would too. All right, so that's what's going on. But they're listening to Jesus and they're walking away and their lives are not changed. And so Jesus addresses that with this parable. And the implied question that he's asking them as he's telling, his disciples included, as he's telling them the explanation of that is, which one are you? Which dirt are you? The one by the pathway, the rocky one, the thorny one, or the good soil? All of us want to say what? Yeah, good, right? I'm good dirt. But I want you to think about that. Let's talk about the parable and the explanation a little bit so we break it down just a little bit further. The first time the seed falls is the one that has no understanding. I'm going to back up here just a second. Who is the sower? In this case, it's Jesus. What's the seed? The Word of God. His teaching. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the sower. I mean, I'm sitting here in 2024 in Illinois, in surrounded by farm ground, I'm saying, well, don't throw the seed on the bad ground. That's not the point of the parable. Jesus is making that available to everybody. And that's also the beauty of this parable. Is the seed goes out and it lands and it lands on this bad, on the path stuff. It lands in the rocky, it lands in the thorny, and it lands on the good. You and I would say, just put it on the good stuff. But God casts it out there everywhere for everybody to hear. And that first group that it lands on, he doesn't understand it. It doesn't resonate with him. It doesn't click. This isn't about me. I don't see anything beneficial in what he just told me. It's not putting a new Mercedes in my driveway, so I'm moving on. And so he gets no understanding. He doesn't understand that this is the Word of God coming, and he needs to listen. And what happens is that seed is laying on the hard ground. And if Eli's told me this about his dad's seed, he said, the birds come and get it. Okay? And that's what happens. He said, I asked him, he got seed. He says, the birds ate it all. And so I'm taking it from an authority that when you leave seed on the ground and it's not in the ground, the birds will come and steal it away. And that's the evil one in this understanding. We have an enemy. The enemy is happy that it's just laying there. And just in case you go back and want to look at it again, I'm taking it away. So you can't rethink that. And so the enemy is working against that. He's there as a sower is throwing the seed out there, and the enemy is doing his very best to make sure that word has no effect on your life, on their lives, on our lives, right? Because the enemy doesn't want your life changed. He wants company in hell. So the enemy is working against us. That's the first group of people that the parable talks about is the people by the pathway, that people where it just falls, it doesn't connect, there's no understanding, and the enemy snatches away. The second one, I love this one. My little mind works this way. Hey, he receives it with great joy. And when I read this, it's kind of like, well, it sprouts up quickly because it's warmer in the rocks. But it's just temporary. So it sprouts up and it gets up so high. And then sun, but in this case, affliction and persecution bring it to an end. What was promising, what was received with joy, the guy's listening to the word of God, and that's great, right? That's great. But then all of a sudden, you're reading God's word, you listened to that guy and believed him. You know, that persecution comes along there. We don't do that kind of stuff here. And then affliction, life gets tough. And we walk away, and what was once promising just dies out, withers away. It's dead. This one and the next one I want you to think about. Because all of us want to think we're good soil. We know people who have been what appeared to be good soil. But over the course of time, they've dropped out from following God. It wasn't an immediate dropout, but it was a dropout. Same kind of results. At one time, there was a great joy in their life to serve the kingdom, to listen to God's word. And then life happened. The affliction, the persecution came along, and out they went. I could retell the story about being in a youth group. We had all these we had a huge youth group. We went out and did, we did Dallas Hall musicals, right? We did those. And we had a choir. We'd fill up a charter bus, Cabela's at that time, and we'd travel wherever. We'd travel down to Knoxville area, travel up by Chicago. But then you could go back a few years later and go, where are the guys that I stood up with? Where are the gals that stood up here and sang? They once were excited. They had joy with the word of God, but yet they're nowhere to be found right now. So what happened? It grew up, sprang up, persecution, affliction came, and what was once alive is now dead. The next group hears the word. Then worry, the thorns, worry and deceitfulness of wealth choke it out. This is the one where I identify with on my gardening site, okay? We were talking about garden earlier today. I always have good intentions of a garden. The only thing that I can grow successfully is squash and zucchini, because they apparently will grow in weeds. I suspect that they would grow better without the weeds. But I know they grow in the weeds. Green beans and corn and things like that, they like to be weeded. I don't like to weed, or there's not a connection there. So what I plant in the garden gets choked out by everything else. And the things that I want to grow don't grow, and the things I don't want to grow, they're healthier than all get out. This is one of the soils. This is one of the soils that Jesus talks about. They hear the word, and it starts out wonderfully, right? It's all, you know, your garden's all looking beautiful, and the things that are popping up are the beans and the corn and the whatever else you planted out there. And it looks so promising. Looks so promising. And as a matter of fact, you work it for a little while, and for a little bit, it starts to look great. I mean, it does, the plants are getting taller, and the weeds are all cleaned out, the soil's all broken up, the rains are coming, you're watering, all that stuff. You're counting on a harvest. You're already thinking about the BLT sandwiches you're going to make. You're already thinking about smearing butter on the ears of corn and breaking. You know, there's nothing really better than green, fresh green beans, fresh potatoes, and a little bit of ham in there. You can get a steak. I'll take that instead. Okay, that's better. And you're all excited, and your mouth is watering because you're thinking about that. And then something happens, and the weeds, the next time you come back, the weeds are there, and you can't find the plants. Worry and deceitfulness are like weeds in the garden. And they come and choke out the potential that was once there. And then you got nothing. Then you just mow it down. Because ain't nothing happening there but weeds. And even with salad dressing, they're not good. Because he's right. There are thorns in there. Right? So this is what happens. And then there's the last one. This is what we want to be. You got it? This is the one we want to lay claim to. It is the one who hears the word, who understands the word, and whose life the word then changes. I mean, that's what's supposed to be happening, right? The word changes our life. The word changes our life. Yesterday we had disaster relief training. I got the opportunity to stand in here. I stood down here and I went through evangelism because it's important that we understand why do we go on disaster relief, right? Why do we wear the yellow shirts? Because we like running chainsaws, digging out mud, taking care of mold. We do those things. Disaster relief does those things so that God would give us an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody whose house we're at about Jesus. And so as I'm walking them through this, I gave them this sheet, and it's called My Testimony. And the first question here is my life before Jesus was. What was my life before you knew? What was your life before you knew Jesus? The second thing was how I came to know Jesus. In other words, your salvation experience. I repented and I believed. I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's what goes in that slot right there. Do I need to change mics? Well, I'm good now. Okay. All right. We have birds. And the last thing on this here is my life now because of Jesus is. Okay? What's my life now because of what Jesus has done? That's the change, right? I've heard the word. I understand the word. It applies to me. And now I'm going to make changes in my life because of what God has done for me. So that top column is different than the last answer, because Jesus has changed my life. Okay? Jesus has changed my life. That's the good soil. Okay? That's the good soil. The results, as we walk through this, the results are dependent on where the seed falls. The results are dependent on where the seed falls. I've got to change the slide there. Jesus focuses this on us. Are you listening? Are you doing with what you just heard? That's what Jesus is asking us. Okay? How have we viewed that? Are we the hard soil beside the path? Are we, and this is, understand, they had roadways, but he's talking about paths where you walk through. My property had cow paths on it for a while, places where nothing grew because the cows had walked it down every season. So results depend on where it falls. What's our response? There are four soils here. There's the hard soil. There's the rocky soil. There's the thorns. And there's the good soil. I want you to work with me through this one. Because this is, you know, as I'm trying to think of things that I can do to illustrate this, you know, do I need to bring a bag of seed up? What's that? Are we good? Okay. Thank you. So, do I bring a bag of seeds in? Do I bring dirt up on the stage?
Probably not. Okay. Do I ask Adam to bring seed? We'd probably bring your whole seed trailer up here. No. Do I bring a brick in or a piece of concrete that would represent the hard soil? What's wrong with that? The brick can never change. It just stays hard. The seed lands on it that every time. But if you've had a path worn through your garden, is it always a path? No, your Troy-built tiller will just dig right through that. And you can plant there. So, we may know some hard soil. Honestly, we may be hard soil with some of the teachings. Can rocky be changed? When we were watching the video of James and John with their not so much John Deere, they were picking up rocks and pitching them to the side. You guys remember doing that as a kid in the garden or in the fields? You still do that, don't you? Right? So the rocks can be removed and changed. Can you take out thorns and weeds? And then the soil becomes what? Good soil. So as I was walking through that, I realized, to me, I'm looking at this and going, follow with me, think like Cliff for a minute, that whatever soil I am or whatever the soil of somebody around me is, it can be changed. God can soften my hard heart. My hard head, he can knock something into. The hard heads around you, the people that hear and go, what's the big deal about Jesus, right? That can be changed. Their hearts can be softened. When you're going out in disaster relief, last week if you went and knocked on the door, hey, you want to hear about Jesus? No way. Go on. But this week as you're there with your yellow shirt to help them out, what are they doing? Tell me about Jesus. I want to hear that story because God has been at work. And sometimes out of the tragedy becomes the times when we get eternity. The temporary things that we thought fixed life are gone, and now we find out the eternity fix is Jesus Christ, and we're ready for that. So the soil can be changed. Those things, those cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, finally we get to a point where we realize things don't matter that much. It takes us till we're older, but we realize that things don't matter all that much. And a relationship with Christ is better than a Porsche. All right, things change. And we get to the point where we're the good soil. Here's your action step. This is a little longer. It's a nice day. You can sit out on your chair on your patio or on your lawn. And you can take your fishing pole out to the end of the dock. List the changes. In this paper, it was about what was your life before. And what's your life like now? Think about what your life was like before. I had a gentleman sit here and he told me about his salvation experience because I asked him to do that 3-minute testimony thing. He says, you know, I used to cuss all the time. You know, and he said, I had a guy come up to me. He says, hey, I know how you used to talk. I know how you talked yesterday. You're going to struggle with that. And he said, I was able to put that behind me. He pointed to a life change, a fruit of his life with Jesus. And so, pull open Galatians chapter 5, look at the fruits and say, how patient was I before I knew Christ? How patient am I now? How loving was I before Christ? How loving am I now? You walk through those kind of things and say, where has the change occurred? Because I want to know, really. I want to believe that I'm good soil. But I want to know that there's change been made. And even good soil can be made better soil. Again, that's how Randy makes a business. Here's your dirt looks like. This is good dirt, but I can tell you how to make it better dirt. So that better, so when Adam's seed that's not the fault is planted in your ground, it'll produce even more than it did before. So how am I going to improve? I want to know where I'm not the good soil, or where the soil can improve. So that helps me to look through, what was my life like before concerning the fruits of the Spirit? What's my life like now? My life, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we become a new creature. That means there ought to be noticeable change in our life. Write those things down. Catalog them. List them out. And then the other thing that I want to ask you is this, as you think about, am I good soil? Because we as Christians are what? Supposed to be going. The Great Commission is to go out and tell people about Jesus. Make disciples and baptize them. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the people, the names, and the faces of the people that you had a part in that part of their story. If it was here, I baptized them, okay? I was the one in the tank with them. But I didn't do everything. God used you and you and you and you. Maybe over the course of years, maybe you had them when they were a little kid in class. Maybe you had them when they were a little bit older. And maybe you were the one that said to them, do you want to accept Jesus? But when we're talking about good soil produces changes in a life. And my friend, it produces disciples. So that's where when we're listening to the parable and going, I'm not one of those guys. I want you to check to see where you and I can improve so that we become the very soil that God intends us to be. So that we produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold, 100-fold, whatever it might be that we produce, because God is working through us to change other people's lives. So that they, who were once hard, rocky, or thorny, can become the good dirt God intended for them to be. Adam's going to come up here and lead us in a song. Death is arrested? He changed it. Okay. That's okay. We're going to sing a song. And whatever song we sing on whatever Sunday, it is an opportunity for you to respond. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I would love, somebody here would love to tell you how to do that. It's not all that hard. It is and it isn't. It requires you stop fixing things and letting Jesus do what he did, and understanding what he did on the cross was the only thing that could save you. Maybe you want to come down and pray for somebody that you know is the hard soil, the thorny soil, or the rocky soil. Maybe you just want to come down and pray for something else. I'll pray with you. The deacons will pray with you. Vic's over here. Richard's over here. They will pray with you. There's somebody by you that will pray with you. Whatever God is moving to do, let's not sit and hang on to it and put him off. Let's answer God's call. Let's stand.
Jesus, draw me ever near as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wait. Jesus, guide me through the tempest. Keep my spirit stayed and sure. When the midnight meets the morning, let me love you even more. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wake.
Join us me in prayer. Father, we come to you. I thank you that you just didn't tell me once. That you reached out with your word over and over again. That, Father, what I didn't understand at the first has now changed my life. Father, I pray that we could be a part of sharing your word with others, that their lives would be changed likewise. Father, that they would have a home in eternity to look forward to worshiping you in all of your glory. Father, I pray that as we go out of this place, let us be a light. Father, walk with us, walk before us, walk behind us, Father, walk beside us. Guide us, direct us, Lord. Protect us. Father, help us to see the opportunities that you've placed in front of us. Help us to have the faith to overcome the obstacles to get there. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's your reading for this week out of Deuteronomy and Isaiah, Colossians and Matthew. Read those. There'll be videos. Wednesday night is a meal. Let us know you're coming so we got enough food, but do come, right? Hang out and talk in fellowship. And then we'll have a little bit of business meeting. And then if everything goes accordingly, we got time. Richard's going to show you the movie. And since you're here, you just well watch The Chosen, because I think that will help to give you a perspective on the Gospels that you haven't had before. So I encourage you to be part of that. The Savior Stretch, the food pantry, all of those things, be part of. And this wasn't on the announcements, but remember, guys, we postponed last week's church council meeting. So if you're in church council, head to my office here and we'll have a short little meeting. But thank you for being here today.